In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. When my son was in middle school, he and I took a fencing class together. It was a great workout and a lot of fun, and I learned a lot, not just about fencing. Fencing is about more than just hacking and slashing and poking someone with a sword, although that is very cathartic. Like most sports and most things in life, I suppose, there are subtle techniques, basic foundational skills that one needs to learn to be a good fencer. Traditionally, one would spend an entire year just learning the proper footwork of fencing without ever even touching a sword. Well, we moved much more quickly than that, but there are certain fundamentals and rules that needed to be learned before we could do what you might actually call fencing. In our Christian life, there are also some basic foundational truths that we need to know if we are going to live an authentic Christian life. Martin Luther looked at the church of his day and saw that the church and its people were lacking in many ways. These problems had arisen because the church had lost sight of its basic teachings, its foundational principles, and the people were stumbling in their Christian walk because they didn't know any better. Luther and the other reformers believed that by calling the church back to its roots, its essential doctrine, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ, things in the church could be righted, people would lead godly lives, God would be praised, and faith would flourish once more. In other words, the church would be set free from the errors that enslaved it. What are the essential fundamental teachings that the Lutheran Church espouses and that we hold dear and that we need to keep in front of us yet today? We talk about something called the solas of the Reformation. Sola is a Latin word meaning alone or only. And the reformers identified certain principles that were necessary for good theology and good Christian living. Each of them took the form of a phrase that emphasized certain concepts. They built upon one another as being the only foundation for what we believe and teach. For Reformation Sunday, we will look at these five solas, the five onlys, the five truths alone on which our faith is founded. Those five solas are, with their Latin and English names, sola scriptura, scripture alone, sola gratia, grace alone, sola fide, faith alone, sola Christus, Christ alone, and sola Deo gloria, to God alone be the glory. Considering them in order, we begin with scripture alone. How do we know what to believe? Do we let some great spiritual leader, like the Dalai Lama, or someone even more high and exalted, like Dr. Phil, tell us what to believe? Do we let the government decide for us? Whatever the Supreme Court or the voters decide is legal must be moral, right? Do we get our facts about religion from the experts on the Discovery and the History Channels? I was once at a church gathering, and there were small group discussions between pastors and lay people, adults and teenagers, about human sexuality. Several people made statements and supported them with biblical quotes. Then someone said, "I don't know what the Bible says, but on the TV shows I watch," and she proceeded to make reference to several TV situation comedies. Do we really want fictional TV shows to be our moral and spiritual authority? Our only authority is Holy Scripture. God revealed all we need to know about salvation in His holy word. The Bible is the source of all we believe, all doctrine. In the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, we say that the Bible is without error because it is inspired by the Holy Spirit. The people who wrote the books of the Bible didn't make them up on their own. They wrote what they were directed to write by God Himself. Our varied human experiences, our faulty human logic, doesn't supersede the biblical witness. We can't say, well, things have changed since the Bible was written. What the Bible says no longer applies. God's saying something new and different. No, God does not change. As I like to say, the Bible has no expiration date on it. Certain denomination ran television commercials a few years ago talking about the changes in their churches, and they said, God is still speaking, as if God was speaking to them through their imaginations or some such thing. How could that be? You could imagine that God said one thing to you, and I could imagine that God said the opposite to me, and who does to say who is right and who is wrong? God is still speaking, but He speaks to us through the Bible, if only we would listen. What God is saying to us is that we are saved by grace alone, and we don't mean the table grace we say before meals. Think of grace as a shorthand way of saying God's unconditional, unmerited love. God didn't have to save us. He made us, and He could do with us whatever He wanted. But He chose to love us, and it wasn't because we're just so very lovable. God loved us despite of who and what we are, because of who and what He is. We are sinful and unclean, as our confession says, and we deserve temporal and eternal punishment. But God is love, and He shows His love to us chiefly by having mercy on us and forgiving us. It's kind of like this. Have you ever been attracted to someone and you tried to have them notice you? You try to impress them any way and every way you can. You try to look just right and act just right and say all the right things, but that person doesn't seem to know you exist. Or say you apply for a job, and you craft the perfect resume, and you ace the interview, but you still don't get the job. But then, sometimes later, someone loves you just for who you are, and you don't have to pretend to be somebody else. Or the opportunity for just the right job falls into your lap, and your prospective employer immediately takes a liking to you. That's sort of how it is with God. He loves us just because, and we don't have to win or earn that love. God's love for us was most evident on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, He atoned for our sins. He earned the forgiveness that we cannot. He took the punishment we deserved and paid our debt. But then how do the merits of Christ's atoning death get applied, get credited to us? By faith alone. Jesus won the victory, and we participate in that victory by faith. Well, what is faith? Faith is the trust that we have in God's grace as it's revealed to us in Holy Scripture. In Luther's time, it was popular for agents of the church to sell indulgences. Indulgences were statements by the church that said you could buy forgiveness of your sins for yourself or a loved one. Luther and the Reformers said, no, you cannot buy forgiveness. Forgiveness comes from God's grace, which we access through faith. There is no other way to be happy with Jesus and at peace with God than through faith. Faith clings to the promises God made to us through Christ, His only begotten Son. Implicit in all of this is that Christ alone is the way to the Father. There is no other way, as the Bible says. It's popular to say, well, if you're a good Jew, God will accept that. If you're a good Muslim, God will accept that, and we'll all go to heaven. That's not what the Bible says. Such belief denies the power of God's grace and makes faith unnecessary. And they make Jesus into just another human moral teacher. God the Father wills the salvation of everyone, and the way that he accomplished that is through his Son, who is both God and man. Jesus is God. So God has raised human dignity to be like its own and to share in his power. And Christ is man in that God has stooped to us in our weakness to save us as one of us. Moses, Buddha, Muhammad cannot make that claim. Jesus alone is God incarnate, the man divine, who is alone worthy of our worship and praise. In the end, that's what it's all about. We give glory to God alone in worship and praise. We live for the praise of God's glory. Why is that so important? Does God need our praise? Is he insecure and needs affirmation? No. Our worship is all about God because God is all about us. As our Creator and King, he deserves our praise, but in his grace and his love for us, he draws us into his joyful celebration and serves us by showing us his might and his splendor. If there was any hint, any inkling that something or someone was greater than God, we, of course, would be drawn to worship that instead. And then we would miss all the earthly and the eternal blessings of God. As we know, God is all in all. Imagine that you are on a ship that sinks and you're bobbing up and down in the ocean in your life vest, hoping to be rescued. There's a lifeboat nearby, but you can't see it clearly in the dark and mist. Do you want that lifeboat captain to be silent or to whisper sheepishly, "You might want to consider coming to my lifeboat or not. I'm not really sure it's safe. I'm not really sure I can help you. I'm really not very good at all this rescuing stuff." Or do you want the captain of the lifeboat to shout through a bullhorn, "Come here, I am here to save you. It is safe here in my boat. You are going to be rescued. I can do it, I promise." We all want the second captain, of course. And that's how God is. He's not conceited or egotistical. He's just honest. And he wants us to know the truth that we are safe with him. And we are. That's what the Bible alone says, that we are saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone, that is faith in Christ alone. So may all the glory be to God alone. Have those solas before you at all times, and you will be on firm spiritual ground, and you will be set free indeed. Amen.